This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Kendrick Perkins making waves yesterday. Perkins banned from the parade. If I'm him, I wouldn't want to go on the parade boats anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Says nobody is afraid of the Boston Celtics. Not one team in the league is afraid of the Boston Celtics. I think every team in the league is afraid of the Boston Celtics, whether they're going to admit it or not. I think that just about, even the Nuggets, every single one of them, they look at what that Celtics team did last year, and it wasn't just their easy path to the playoffs. I admit it was easy, but it was easy because they stayed healthy, and that's scary. It's scary to have a team with a bunch of players in their primes, for the most part, with few exceptions, be that healthy and that good all throughout the season and keep it up all year and play that kind of defense and occasionally shoot threes that well. Like, they went on some streaks where they, you know, start missing threes, but for the most part, they were a embodiment of the 3-and-D team with guys that could hurt you all over the floor, a good bench. Really, I mean, there weren't a lot of weaknesses with the Celtics last year, and they brought the entire team back. I think the NBA is terrified of the Celtics.
So that's an interesting way to spin this, is not nobody's afraid of the Celtics. Everybody's afraid of the Celtics, except I would put the Nuggets on the list. I think you could put Miami on the list, quite honestly. I just think they may not beat them, but I don't think Miami would fear the Celtics. There's just a, I don't know if you've heard, culture there.
There is.
That probably leads them to not, and they've had success against the Celtics,
they
obviously,
have. That's
over
true.
The years.
But that was, I mean, listen, this past series, Butler didn't play, but they were.
Neither did Terry Rozier.
Well, yeah, it's true.
He's their starting point guard.
He's their starting point guard, and that's true. They were down a couple of guys. But even if those guys both played, even if both Rozier and Butler played.
You got very excited to throw him in combination with Jimmy Butler.
Well, yeah.
They were missing players.
And he was a big acquisition for them. Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett didn't play.
That's right.
He was a starting quarterback. You're going to laugh at that.
Rozier's better than Jacoby
Brissett. No, I know, but
Rozier might be like their third best scoring option.
Okay. Yeah, third,
I think
fourth,
Butler was a bigger deal.
Well, of course. I'm just... Okay. Emphasizing Arkan's point.
I think if Butler played and Rozier played and they even brought back, I don't know, Glenn Rice from the 90s, I still think that Celtics team probably beats them in six games. I think that was going to be a six-game series, Celtics winning. It was five anyway, but like... That's sort of what I'm looking at here. I don't think that was going to make much of a difference. If Giannis and the Bucks were playing, Giannis and Lillard, and they had beaten the Pacers, and then you had to play them instead of Indiana, then yeah, it might have been a tough series, but I still think the Celtics win the series. I still think they were going to win that championship regardless of who came in.
Probably. I think the Nuggets would be a question. I think that's when you got to the finals and that perceived matchup with the Nuggets might be a question. Mm-hmm. The Bucks, are they a team that fears the Celtics?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was fear the deer.
I think they fear the Celtics, yes.
They fear the Celtics.
I think so.
Fear the green.
I think they do.
Feel the mask. Feel
I think
lucky.
That's part of the reason why they did what they did with Lillard. I think they sort of looked at the sub before the Celtics even won anything. They looked at it and said, you know what? We only have, we don't have enough. We don't have enough to compete with these other teams in the East like the Celtics. And so they let Holiday go, and the Celtics got him, which I don't think they were counting on. But I think that was part of the reason why they even went the way they did to go get Dame Lillard, because they were scared of the Celtics. Teams have been scared of the Celtics, I think.
Yeah, but it's a little different when you've been successful, right?
I mean, very different,
like,
yeah.
That changes everything for good. Now, maybe for worse, because as we talked about earlier, the 6 years in a row, the champion doesn't repeat. And the NBA used to be really about runs, right? You won a title, then you won a few titles once you finally broke through. And that's where people have made the comparisons between the Celtics and some of those 80s and 90s team. Oh, it took Jordan a while to break through. It took the Pistons a while to break, like, blah, blah, blah. You have to break through. Mm-hmm. And I think this team is being treated like those old teams. Once you broke through, Kevin Millar, let us win just one, because once you win one, we're going to win three, or we're going to win four. And four might be a little greedy on my part. Let's go to three. I'm shooting for three. Is three fair?
Sure.
Three in the next...
A three-peat?
No, no. I'm going to say 3 in 4 years.
That's a dynasty.
That is a dynasty.
3 in 5 years, I think, is a dynasty. But yeah, 3 and 4 definitely is.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a dynasty. Imagine what the ego on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's going to be when they're a dynasty. Because they're already feeling themselves a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Their little arrogance has set in.
741 shoes are going to be flooding the streets. They're going
to
be everywhere.
Let's go to some texts. Some that I remember, some that I will read. Because there was one that I want to get to that I remember.
Okay.
The one that I will read, the Tatums are cheaper than Browns. $200 are what the Browns are retailing for.
Is that right?
And Tatums are like a 120 type shoe. They're in the low hundreds.
Okay.
Because they're a tier down from like the LeBrons or the higher end Nike and all that. But $200.
They haven't gone on sale yet. Brown sale. Brown shoes go on sale.
Are you lying to me? Text line 617.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe saw them early. I don't know when this is
dated happy about
for,
that. If you're
way.
Lying to me, I'll Let's never see. Buy them for $200, just an FYI. I don't care what color they come in.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
It's
Let's see.
My
this
grade.
Is, I thought they got debuted today or yesterday, right? So if they were debuted yesterday, then this means they're. Yeah, they're not on sale until next month. Now, maybe the texter knows something about it, but
he's got
let's
a guy.
See.
Maybe he's got a guy.
Yeah. Shoe guy.
Yeah. Forgot the other text I was going to bring up, and I can't scroll through it. So.
You know, if you're an independent, right, this is like the first signature shoe of this new company. They probably have to, you know, right, if they want to get a little equity going.
Well, I don't know where they're looking to land as a price point, as a company. We talked about the Stephon Marbury. If you're trying to do something or be a certain price point, but $200, you're talking about you're in LeBron's category. You're in the high-end Nike category.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's part of it, too. I don't want to seem like I'm a lesser to Nike. My shoes are going to sell for Nike prices because I'm just as good as you, Nike. Damn it. Screw you.
I love the press releases for stuff like this where he's like, the understanding of ownership and value is what's important for this next generation of athletes. It's time to think different and be different. It's time to create value. And then he comes up with the 741. The name 741 is more than just a sneaker brand. It's a statement about independence, creativity, and ownership. Inspired by the late Kobe Bryant's Mamba mentality, he hopes to bring the same fearlessness to his brand, pushing sports along with society to new heights. That's the mindset I'm bringing to 741.
Hmm.
It's going to elevate society.
Are you allowed to do that?
Say elevate like society?
Your, no, say your new company, which competes with Nike, was founded and inspired based on Kobe Bryant?
Like, that wasn't part of the release, but that was written into this article here that it was, I don't know, that may have been in the release, I'm not sure.
Because
that's
weird
not part
to me.
Of the quote.
Like, that's a Nike, they still make Kobe's, right? Doesn't his wife have
so,
a licensing agreement with his estate and that whole thing for Nike? And yeah, that seems weird.
October 22nd is when 741 and other products are slated to go on.
So you compared them to the ball situation.
Yes.
Which has dissipated. Doesn't exist anymore, right?
I'm pretty sure it's gone.
Big baller brand.
Big baller brand, I think, is no more.
Will 741...
Because they all made it in the NBA. So like,
will 741 exist in 5 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
In 5 years? I don't know if they're going to be cranking out shoes, but I think it's still going to exist as a company, yeah.
I'm going to take the downside. I'm going to take no. Unless he...
See the contract he just signed? He'll keep that thing going as a vanity project as long as he wants.
If he's paying attention to the Grossbeck family, when you start losing money on something, cut your ties and take your example from the Grossbeck family. And because that, if you want to end up on broke, finance a company that isn't going anywhere producing shoes. And that's a good way to lose $300 million like that.
House is seven oose, you know,
they
company,
are also,
right?
You Googled wrong because everybody's saying they're on pre-sale for $200.
Oh, really? All right. Well, I'm reading the release. It says they're not out yet. But yeah, they could be on that. That's entirely possible.
Yeah, tell me multiple texters would lie or be wrong.
I mean, they could all be wrong, sure. But I'm not saying they are. I just Googled it quickly and that's what I saw.
I will not be buying them for $200.
No, I probably won't either. 617-779.
Are you a sneakerhead?
7937. Not really. I have more pairs of shoes than I probably need, but like I don't have like a whole room full of shoes or whatever like some people I know. I'll get like a new pair of shoes every year or two, maybe.
Oh, so no. I wouldn't
call myself a sneakerhead. I mean, there was a time where I used to like collect, you know, Air Force Ones and Dunks and stuff like that, but
you still have them all?
A long time ago. No, I sold them all.
Did profit? Because there's money in that.
Not really.
Oh.
It was all,
so you're not
it was
good
all
at
before
it.
Like, no, it was, I just didn't care enough and I didn't have enough room. So I just kinda got rid of them. I gave some of them away, but like yeah. I was never that big into it anyway. I never had like the pigeons or any of like the real rare hot ones or anything like that. Because people used to get people would wait outside the store And people would come out of the store and people would just go and rob them and take their shoes. Like, there was no reason to even get involved in that unless you were heavily armed, you know, and that you wanted to go and get into it. Like, if you really wanted to be hip deep in the sneaker game, you had to have, like, a security posse with you. You had to make sure. Because you come out of that store with some rare Nike Air Force Ones or rare Dunks or something like that, you're getting robbed. Like, you're going to get robbed immediately. So, I never got that deep into it.
This is a good point by the 603. Nothing lifts society like child labor. Labor for shoes.
True.
Where are these 741s being produced?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because isn't that the root of Jaylen Brown's feud with Nike? Stems back to some of that stuff.
To things like that he mentioned. Yeah. I think that's been mentioned. Yes.
So I'll be interested to see where these... That's probably why they're so expensive. They're American made, but they're $200.
That's probably
it's
why.
It's pricey.
There you go.
It's just Jaylen Brown in his basement, like, weaving together shoes in his off days.
Yep, that's why it's pre-orders. It's going to be a while. We'll get them to you by next May, maybe.
His shot's all off because his fingers are all cramped from, from making the shoes. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's some sneaker talk for you as we continue with our Celtics conversation. Jason Tatum says that you haven't seen the best of him. We'll get into that and some more sound from Media Day yesterday right after.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
After Brian tells you what's trending. Jason Tatum with, I thought, a very funny line about how getting benched in the Olympics really, really popped Joe Mazzulla's cork, you know? Like, that made him happy. He was, big smile. Oh, yeah, like, you know, and not even like a big smile, but like that evil sort of like, yes.
Cool. I don't think he has big smiles.
No, when they won the championship, he ran out on the court and had a big smile. It was so off-putting because you never see him do that.
Yeah.
But he ran out onto the court and he was a big smile. He was high-fiving everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, is that Joe Mazzulla? Like, don't see him do that very often. I like that. I like that quote, and I liked what that's all about, too, because as much as I've been sort of complaining and bitching about the Celtics potentially resting on their laurels and, you know, loving the smell of their own fart so much, there is this whole thing with the Olympics that has inadvertently, or maybe on purpose, I don't know, I don't think Kerr did this on purpose or Grant Hill or anybody, but Barkley said this, like, this was really stupid of them to do this, to create this additional bulletin board motivational material here for both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, not just one or the other, both of them. Jason Tatum gets benched on the team. First team All-NBA, he gets benched. He was the only American first team All-NBA player this year. The only one. Everybody else from another country. And he's benched against Serbia twice. And Jaylen Brown was the finals and Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he doesn't make the team at all. And then when there's an opening, they bring in Derek White because they think he's more of a team player. I don't know that you could have possibly asked for more in an off season. Like, what else even is there that you can ask for that would be more motivating than those two things? Like, that's kind of perfect if you think about it for the Celtics.
Do you think it's real? Because I think
what do you mean?
From afar, superficially, it's great. Like, it's this fun narrative. Oh, they're going to be pissed off. They didn't make the Olympic team or didn't play on the Olympic team. What the hell does that have to do with anybody except Kerr that you actually come in contact with? You know what I mean? It's like...
Sure. Perception, I think. And if things tell you anything, it's perception is reality a lot of the time.
So you weren't really playing hard before, but now you're going to play hard every night.
No.
To prove to people you should have been on the Olympic team and you should have played for the Olympic team. I just think
you don't think guys take nights off, first of all? I mean, I think
I do, and I think they'll continue to take nights off.
Maybe. But
unless it's Kerr. I think Kerr will get his.
Yeah.
I think they will have a bee in their bonnet when they face Kerr and Golden State. But other than that, like, when you face the Knicks, are you thinking about the Olympics? When you face the Heat, are you thinking about the Olympics? When you face Indiana, when you face Detroit, you're thinking about getting guys 30-point games.
Right, it's about Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser going out there and scoring, yeah.
I just think it's a fun thing to say, and it might even have worked preseason. Like, when my guy Jaylen Brown is at the bottom of a pool with weights in his hand and a mask on his face, maybe he can do some sort of, like, Olympic motivation thing in his head there. But in the fourth game of the season, the sixth game of the season, is he thinking about the Olympics or is he thinking about, well, my quad's kind of sore tonight?
Well, once the season starts, it's hard to say. But I think in terms of the offseason, you know, we're worried about them resting on their laurels and being too into themselves to give a crap and just think, hey,
we
can roll the ball back out there and be fine, no problem. And instead, now they have this thing, you know, they have this thing that happened, this slight that happened to both of them in different ways, obviously. But I think guys like that absolutely take those very personally. How does it manifest? Yeah, like, looking like they didn't want you on the Olympic team?
No.
That your teammate was a better choice for the Olympic team for you? You don't think that's going to manifest in Jaylen Brown?
Yeah,
someone
but,
as image conscious as
so
he is?
Is he playing better? Is he playing harder? Is he playing more? Is he playing like...
I can see him playing better and harder.
See,
and
I can't.
Both of those things. I think is very possible. I think Jason Tatum, too.
I think he's a pretty competitive guy. It also implies that they weren't playing hard before, like they have another level of effort that they weren't utilizing last year.
So no one can ever get motivated?
No, you can. Like, I think, remember the Randy Moss thing? He used to, like, when he played the Cowboys, they passed him and they promised they were taking him or whatever.
Right.
And, like, that was a thing. Like, I think there are certain guys, there's guys that keep lists. I believe Brady kept the stupid, you know, QB6 Brady list of all the guys who went in front of him.
Did he elevate his game or did he not play hard the year before?
Well, first of all, that was when he was drafted, so there was he had
fine,
never
I'm
played.
I'm just saying,
in
like, but in general, like,
what, like I just I don't actually think they can play harder and better this year because of the Olympics in the summer. I think it's a nice little.
I think
story
it's less
line.
Likely that they take it easy. I think it's less likely that they sort of look at this season like, hey, we're the best. Who cares? You know, we can just do whatever we want and we're fine.
Maybe.
I think that there's going to be additional scrutiny.
I'd like to think they wouldn't have done that anyway. I'd like to think they're professionals and young guys that are looking
I'd like to think that too, but I'm not sure I'd guarantee it.
Maybe. Maybe that's true. I just, other than the Warriors, I find it hard to believe this is going to have any sort of impact on a nightly basis, on a performance basis, anything. I think there's more likelihood for Tatum. Like, did I see in my app that he's the favorite to win the finals MVP? Which is a random thing to really be thinking that far ahead.
Did you see that in your app? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that in my app, that he's the favorite to win the finals MVP.
What, like, is he on the regular MVP list, you know?
He was in the
Let's
mix.
Take a look at
no. Because the other thing I was looking at is Swayman, fourth favored to win the Vezina.
That's going to be tough if he sits out till December.
That's what
1st.
I was thinking. It's a terrible wager. He's not playing.
I'm sure the odds are pretty good, though.
Not as good as you'd think for a guy who's not actually on the team right now.
For regular season MVP, according to Vegas odds, Tatum is 8th right now.
8th?
For regular season MVP. I don't know about finals MVP. He's behind Jokic, Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Embiid, Giannis, Edwards, and then Jalen Brunson.
Because I actually do think those matter. I think there's times where guys try to win MVPs, guys try to get all NBA, try to be more consistent night to night or put up numbers and all of those things. And I think those are more real motivations. Those
I'm looking at FanDuel right now. Tatum's behind Wembanyama. Wembanyama, whatever you say his name.
For regular season MVP.
For MVP. It's Luka, Jokic, Gilgeous-Alexander, Embiid, Giannis, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Wembanyama, Jason Tatum.
So he's 9th.
Yeah. He's top 10. Right in between Wembanyama and Ja Morant.
I think that would be more motivation.
That's motivation. Yeah, right there. There you go. It's motivation for you.
And that's a tangible thing he can chase. You can't really prove anything about the Olympics now. You can chase. You
what
can
do you
be...
mean?
You can lead the NBA in scoring.
It was a mistake to bench me in the Olympics.
How do you prove that?
By playing.
Did they win the
really
gold?
Good.
Did they win the gold?
Yeah.
So you would have won the gold? Like, but you can win an MVP. Like, you can pursue it. You can lead the league in scoring and assists and have triple doubles and do. You know what I mean? Like, you can chase that and prove a point there. And you idiots had me 9th preseason in the list. You can't really do anything about the Olympics now. There's not really a I told you so. Other than Kerr. You can wipe the floor with Kerr and the Warriors if you want and prove a point that night and do whatever you want. Wear T-shirts. I know he likes to wear T-shirts. Maybe he can come in with some fancy T-shirt that night or some attire. I don't know. But you can...
He'd wear a 73-9 T-shirt, mocking him for blowing the 3-1
lead. Or
maybe
it'd be like the Jaren Duran F him shirts, but it's like F Kerr.
Sure. You can do whatever that.
Hashtag F Kerr.
Any one of those things. But I think this Olympic thing is more a media idea. And a nice little story and than it is an actual...
You don't think Tatum was embarrassed by that?
No, I do.
Right.
But I don't
You don't think he's going to hold on to that and then use it as motivation? I think you're dismissing the
So you think, like, 3 seconds left, they're down by 2 against Miami. He's thinking, I'll show Kerr this is a chance. I'm like he's thinking about the Olympics.
Why are you talking about these specific instances?
Because that's my point. I don't think it matters.
The entire season. Well, then what does the MVP matter then, too?
Oh, because
at the very end, he's going to be thinking, well, yeah, I want the
really
MVP
bad.
Award.
He wants to tattoo it on his ass.
That I should have been playing in the Olympics and that he was wrong to bench me. I think it's all part of that.
I don't know.
It's all the same thing. It's all motivation.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how that manifests.
You don't think you don't think that he took that as a slight?
I don't think he's going to think about it at all. I think he's going to be thinking about MVPs and titles.
You're wrong. You're very, very wrong.
I think that
and I think Brown's going to be thinking about it too. In fact, it was the first question that Brown got asked today. Do we have this? Jaylen Brown sat down. It was yesterday, actually, not today, but Jaylen Brown sat down and the very first question, and he handled it well. He laughed it right off, but the first question he was asked was about being left off of the Olympic roster. Which we will have here in just a second. But, yeah, that was the first thing they asked him.
Okay. Not getting called on for the Olympic roster there. How did that make you feel, and
God
are you carrying any
question
of those?
Number one.
Sorry. Right off the bat. Not a lot of chances here.
You get to warm up a little?
That's how the season's going to go, man. So just your emotions overall, your feelings, are you carrying any of those feelings over into the new season in terms of what is motivating you to win again?
I'm ready to go. I'm excited about being back. You know, the past is the past, but I'm ready to get after it, you know, lead our guys, get the guys, build some team chemistry, not skip any steps, and just set the tone for another year again. I'm extremely motivated for obvious reasons, and I'm ready to get after it.
You don't think he's going to be motivated getting snubbed by
for
the
obvious
Olympic team?
Reasons?
Obvious reasons. What do you think he's talking about?
Defending a title, being a professional, proving that he's one of the greatest Celtics to ever wear the uniform, proving that he's a Hall of Fame player, proving all those things that he should be proving as a competitor.
Right, you want to prove all those things anyway, but he's talking about motivation from some
so
obvious thing that happened.
So he's going to try 10% harder.
Which was a slight that happened.
So he'll try 10% harder because he didn't make the Olympic team?
So he's going to try 10% harder to be a great Celtic, Andy? What are you talking about?
No, I think
this doesn't make any, your argument doesn't make any sense.
You just made my point. He can't. I think he's a hard worker.
He can't possibly
I think he's
ever
done
work
his best
any harder
since the
or
day
be motivated any more than he's ever been. This is the most motivated he can ever
be. So that implies he wasn't motivated to a certain level or wasn't working hard. I think he's a really hard worker.
He never did.
I think
not from the Olympics before.
When he got his contract, he worked really hard to prove he was going to have the best season of his career and prove that it was not a bad contract, that he was worth the money.
Okay, so before that, he wasn't motivated.
No, I think he was, but I think that's the point. Like, I don't know how many layers
of motivation.
Which
is a motivation to get a contract.
How do you keep lifting that? Like, you keep going.
By getting snuffed from the Olympics. That's how.
I don't think he'll think about it once during the year. I really don't.
Actually,
no, I do. I think when they play Golden State, I think that's when he'll
think
about
it. I think it's going to come up a good amount.
By the media.
Oh, 100%. It'll come up, and he's going to hear it, and he's going to think about it.
And he will play into it because that's what athletes do. They play into the story because it makes for a nice story. But that's my point. It was the first question from the media. I don't think he would have brought it up himself first. Like, it's not top of mind. I really don't think it's that big a deal.
It was the biggest story of the offseason for the Celtics was this drama in the Olympics.
The sale.
I mean, in terms of, like, the players. In terms of the players.
And then I would say the Tatum and Brown won. I don't know which one was next, or just you put them together and lump them as an Olympic story.
Okay, but Brown wasn't on the team, so he didn't win.
Right. No. Tatum and Brown, the Olympics, was a story.
Oh, I thought you said it was, they won the Olympics.
No.
I'm sorry. All right.
But they were a story together.
It was a very big story.
Sure.
It was a big-time story. It was for like 2 weeks after they brought in Derek White instead of Jaylen Brown. That was a big story. When he got benched, that was a big story.
So you really believe he will be a better player, they will be more motivated, and they're more likely to win because of the Olympic thing?
I didn't say all that other stuff. I said he'll be more motivated. I don't know if it's going to make him better or they're going to win more games, but I do think he will be very motivated by that, yes. And me personally thinks, yes, that would be better than if they just rested on their laurels all offseason and just went on and on about how great they were and had no adversity whatsoever. I think this is more favorable to that. Yes, I think so.
Mm. I just, for him personally, Tatum's separate here. This is where I separate the two. I think Jaylen Brown is always motivated. I think there is a chip on his shoulder and he finds it. And maybe this is the chip, but my point is, I think he always has that chip. You can paint it a different color. You can call it a different story. But the chip is always there.
Okay, but you
I think
just said
the
you
booing
thought he had
at the Garden, or like, oh, he can't dribble with his left, or he dribbles off his left hand. Like, he always is going to have a chip.
Right.
That's my point. I think there would have been a chip this year. Now, if you just want to say,
I think you're really underestimating how much of a diss this was to him. How personal he took it. First of all, he started a war with Nike and launched his own shoe company because of this. I mean, this was deeply personal to him and was considered by him to be a major slight. I think you're really underplaying that.
Okay, I just don't understand how it manifests itself. That's my point.
Because I think that implies the guy wasn't working hard before, wasn't motivated before, isn't a true professional, isn't the highest of the highs in terms of his competitive nature, all of that. I think he is. He always has been. He's had a chip on his shoulder.
Well, if he always has been, then how did he, then, okay, then what does the chip on his shoulder matter if he's always motivated?
No, he changes it. That's my point. He always has a chip. But people think the specific Olympic thing is like the Charles Barkley
thing. I don't think it's going to turn him into a different player.
The Celtics.
But I do agree with Barkley. I think that that was a motivational thing.
And we'll never know.
Have to happen.
We'll never have an answer.
Not know that.
Because if they win, they could have won without the Olympic thing. And if they lose, well, then I guess it wasn't that much of a motivation. They lost. Like, we'll never really know if it tied in. It's an argument without an answer.
That's true. But I do think that it is one of the things that doesn't often happen with reigning NBA champions, where they have these two big things, these two big slights to their best players that happen in the offseason. I think that was a gift to the Celtics. I personally think that.
Sure. I mean, people will paint it as that. I believe that will be a narrative that will be peddled by the media, including you, Host One, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Here in the bitching hour.
Yes, and that is where we are. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's get to this from Jaylen Brown. And this, neither one of us really liked this quote very much, but he talked about when they're playing, I don't know, lesser teams, like, say, I don't know, the Detroit Pistons, how they'd go about attacking that team.
Finding different ways to lead also sometimes means that sacrifice where, you know, in a night we plan, don't mean to disrespect them, but the Detroit Pistons, who have struggled over the last year or two, you know, we're going to play through Peyton, let him go for 30. We're going to play through Sam, let him shoot 10 threes tonight. We're going to still win the game. You know, it don't have to be the normal way, but that gives those guys confidence. It gives those guys ability to run free, and we're going to need that down the line.
Why stop there? Why not just have five people out of the stands come and play the Detroit Pistons?
I have a fun fact about the Detroit Pistons. Do you know the last time they even won, not a playoff series or round, last time they won a playoff game?
A playoff game. Detroit Pistons, let me think. 2005?
2008. It was against the Celtics. Okay. Last time they even won a single game in the playoffs.
Oh, right. Oh, wait. They played him in the playoffs. That's right. Yeah. And that was at the end of their Ben Wallace run there. Yeah, right. I remember that.
I really don't like that answer the more I hear it, because I missed the first time.
Not a good answer,
yeah. I missed the we're going to win anyway throwaway part of it. And then now I'm putting the flip side of it in. So if I'm Peyton Pritchard, like, what am I like? I'm like some mascot that you throw out there to prove to crappy teams that you can win even with our crappy player?
It's going to be Lucky and then Hauser. And then if Deuce wants a couple minutes, we'll throw him in.
The chicken hat guy.
Yeah. My girlfriend I was sitting courtside with, she might get a couple reps.
Green mullet guy is going to come in and play. He's going to get a good
run. Who's the guy with the tattoo, 2022 champions?
Oh, yeah, that guy who I don't – did he get another tattoo? Do we know about that?
I don't know if he got an updated one, if he changed the two to a four. He could play the four for them against the Pistons.
I met that guy in 2020. I met him at a game, and I was like, hey – you're the tattoo guy. And he's like, yeah. And he just immediately posed with the tattoo out. I didn't even ask for a picture. I was just like, all right, well, I guess I better take a picture now. I have a picture
so
of me.
So he
and this
guilted
guy.
You into basically taking a picture?
Well,
or
he
like...
assumed that I was just some, you know, adoring fan and that I just hey, that tattoo guy. And he was like, okay, here we go. Yeah, take a look. And then they ended up losing that.
I'd have been like, no, I'm good.
Obviously, I'd probably, you know,
I wasn't
in any rush. And I did stop. He was going somewhere and I did sort of flag him down. So I was being a bit of a fanboy. But either way, that's sort of what that comment reeks of. And I don't know. I mean,
it's disrespectful to the Pistons and his own lesser teammates.
Kind of, yeah.
We can even put these crappy guys out there and still win anyway. Yeah, I didn't care for that. That was a misstep by my guy. Love you, JB, but let's clean that up a little
Justin
bit.
Justin Turpin says that Pritchard talked about that today and said it's a compliment to how deep our team is.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
That's spin zone is what that is.
That is definitely, that doesn't pass the sniff test, and it's in the spin zone. That's doubling up right there.
Yes, it certainly
is. Like, wouldn't you take that as offense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we could even put Arcand in, and we're going to win anyway. We'll put the crappy guy.
We're going to take Brian Scalabrine from the radio booth, put him in.
We'll put Arcand in afternoon drive.
We'll still win anyway.
We'll see what happens. I mean, yeah,
all right,
maybe.
Making this a little specific.
It is very specific now, but yeah, I think that's...
It's just got real.
I think I know what you mean. Anyways, 617-779. It took a second for it to click, but now it did. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll come back, and we have a little bonus baseball for you here as we get ready for the Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays as the Red Sox look to complete a sweep and continue to stay alive here, although it's not looking great because the Mariners are up big. Or did they already win? Do we even know that?
Oh, 6-1 last night. I don't know.
6-1, I don't know. We'll double check on that. Anyways, that's all coming up next. It was Alex Cora with us earlier today, striking a very optimistic tone, and not just optimistic, but almost hockey the right way? Like, this is the last time we're going to not be, you know, this is the last time we're going to be mediocre.
Yeah.
Last time we're going to be around 500. You know, you're not going to see that anymore. We're about to take that next step. He's saying it with his full chest.
Calling his shot.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. He said it a few times. That wasn't the only time he said that.
Nope.
He answered a few questions that way. You know, it's the end of the season, so we're asking questions about looking to the future. But he is, and I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes if it's 100% sincere, if it's sort of, you know, trying to pump himself up and pump up the team. But that is, those are not vagaries. Like, this is it. We're done now. This is the last time you're going to see us in this position, which, you know, you remember that for next year, and you see if the second half goes the same way it has the last 3 years. But for now, that's a good message.
Well, he has to create some momentum heading into the offseason. Even though they're winning right now, they're not going to be a playoff team. There's not going to be that natural playoff run momentum to leap into the offseason with. So he's being a coach and a leader of a franchise and doing that. But I also think he believes it. He's been doing this for weeks with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a certain energy about him that I think is not fabricated, is not a coach creating something,
right.
Is him looking at the young guys he's got, the young guys that are coming, the offseason that I think he is. If I read him properly, do you think it's fair for me to say he leans more towards my side, that they're going to make some acquisitions, there are going to be some moves to get excited about?
I think he's been hoping for that for the last couple seasons now, and it hasn't happened.
And Rob told us yesterday, I forgot the exact wording, was like, that was kind of the agreement when he signed the extension, basically. Like, that this is the time. This is the time to build, put it all together. You know, there's been the comments from...
Yeah, no, I heard all that, and I think that he was, you know, that's true. That was probably...
But you're dubious.
Why? Skeptical.
Believe these people.
Why should I believe these people? I don't believe these people further I can throw these people. Honestly, I mean, I really don't. And I don't think that they've given you any reason to for the last, I don't know, coming up on 7 years.
No, but it's not them.
Since Dombrowski left.
If they
believe... I'm talking about ownership.
No, I know, but if they believe, and the they I'm talking about is Cora and Breslow... Doesn't that mean that they have some reason to believe, some indication? Do you think it's just naive that they're blind and they're like you? They're like, nope, you burned me 4 years in a row. I'm going to let you burn me again. I feel like they're changing in tone.
Breslow's new to this whole thing. So, I mean, he's only had one offseason.
But he's already talking about this is when you can go get people and blah, blah, all these quotes with Alex Speer.
Theoretically, this is when you can do that. He's right about that. I'm not sure
it's theoretical. I think they have
Didn't we also hear full throttle less than a year ago?
Yeah, we sure did. We heard full throttle last year from ownership.
From who? Exactly.
Right.
I don't want to hear from them. I'm hearing from the people that I think have...
But they're the ones in charge of it.
Who told them that, yeah.
Yeah, them. And that's my point.
I don't trust them then either.
I'd much rather it be behind the scenes where you're empowering the people that actually do the job than some slogan that you'll backtrack or some like, oh, I was excited on the radio kind of thing, burn cash,
fine,
blah,
but if
blah,
you're
blah.
Willing to go say that on the radio or on TV or whatever, then what are you saying behind the scenes? You're saying something totally different?
I have no idea what you're saying behind the scenes. Like, I think there are fabrications media-wise. You don't think sometimes coaches, owners, player, whatever, say things publicly that they know are just flat not true?
Yes, I do think that happens, and I think that that's probably happening now.
They haven't said anything publicly.
Not publicly, but
so
I think
behind
that whatever
the scenes,
they're saying is...
They've somehow created optimism in Breslow and Cora. I trust that more than some PR spin on the radio. No disrespect to the Greg Hill Show and Sam
Kennedy.
What do you
think Alex Cora and Craig Breslow thought when they heard Warner say full throttle? Oh, he's probably lying. Like, come on.
I don't know. What were they told behind the scenes?
You think it was something very different from full throttle?
I like this more than that. Because this is two guys that have a natural energy and swagger that I think there has to be a reason for. And I think Breslow and Cora, since he signed his extension, that little lead up, actually before that, I thought Cora started to get a little cock of the walk-ish before that. And then he signed his extension.
Well, they were good before that. That's right.
No, he was starting to feel himself, and I think he was starting to get indications of what was building, not just with this team.
With the offer.
But with the organization, his offer, the longevity, the foundation. I buy it. Maybe I'm a moron. Maybe I am just naive myself. Maybe I'm the one being naive here and buying this. But the vibe he brought today, a little bit of the vibe that Breslow brings. Now, he brings it in a different way because he's kind of a geek.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it is what it is.
True.
He's a Yale geek.
Mm-hmm.
But even he has a little bit of a... energy to him, I feel like. Yeah, it's geeky, but it's an energy
right.
and an excitement. And I'm marrying those two together, and I very much believe, because I don't think Cora, can he be as cocky as he was? Because I think today bordered on cocky. We're never going to struggle again. This is the last time we struggle.
Yeah, no, it's how I opened the segment. I think that's how it came off for sure.
So
can you be that cocky just based on Tanner Houck or Rafaela, and you know that Campbell kid's, he's good in AAA. I don't think you can be over the top cocky if you don't actually believe you're going to supplement the youth with actual tentpole talent.
Maybe, but I also think it's a long time now before we're going to talk to him again, and he's not going to have, you know, a ton of media appearances during the offseason and all that, yeah. And people forget about this. This is something you hear now at the end of the season.
Part of our job as host one and host two,
we'll continue absolutely.
If this doesn't come to fruition, we are not letting anybody forget about it.
Absolutely. And I think
I heard Juan Soto. That's what I heard in there.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
First of all,
Juan
Soto's an outfielder. They're not signing another outfielder.
That part. Did you hear that?
I tuned out on that.
I think he said $500 million Juan Soto. It was weird. It came in crackly, but it cleared it up in my headphones.
I wouldn't get too married to that idea.
No, I'm not actually married to that idea. I'm married to the idea.
Crowded outfield. Corbin Burns, I'd take.
Well, there's going to be guys going. I very much think guys are going to be traded. I mean,
probably, yeah.
There's
but even if you trade like three outfielders, you still got a packed outfield. You got Abreu, you got all three guys in the minors, not all three of them, but a couple guys in the minors. You got Duran, you know, like the Rafaela, like you got all these outfielders.
That's the other thing that's got
Tyler O'Neill, you're not going to re-sign probably. Like there's a lot of things you got to go for here.
Yeah, you don't have to re-sign Tyler O'Neill. If you sign Juan Soto, I'll get over it.
That's true.
Jesus.
No, I agree, but I mean, they also have a bunch of young outfielders coming up through the system too.
Well, that's the other thing that's gotten me excited. Because the more I read, Roman Anthony is now can't miss. Roman Anthony is now like, should they give him a contract before he plays?
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Like that's, and it can be like wrong.
Miguel Cabrera, 19 years old, winning a World Series type stuff here. Is how he's getting.
The narrative,
up,
the vibe, the energy, the rhetoric around him has absolutely exploded.
Let's go Red Sox.
More than
go
that.
Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox. I was there. I was there live when that happened.
Were you chanting with him?
No, because it was such a quick and awful chant that, like, he was standing on top of the dugout. It was after the 2013 parade where they had the Dropkick Murphys and everybody. They had the duck boats all in Fenway Park, and they had a rally at the park, and then they sent them out into the streets, and that's how it started. And I was there for the beginning, and it was really, I think, muddy, and one of either the truck bed that had Dropkick Murphys on it got stuck in the mud or something, and so that was a whole thing. And then they came out, and it was when the Let's Go Red Sox started. We wanted to chant along, you know, but first of all, he was chanting wrong. It's Let's Go Red Sox.
Let's Dun. Go Red Sox.
Like, that's not how you do it, first of all. Everybody knows that. And second of all, it was so bad and so awkward. And then I think it was Lucchino tried to chime in too at the end. Let's go Red Sox. And then it was just over.
Yeah.
And everyone stopped, and everyone was like, what was that? Like, what the hell just happened? And, you know, how serious do you take a chant? But this was a charged-up crowd. This was a crowd of Red Sox fans who were ready for a parade, and it was just Buzz Killington in every possible way.
Well, the opposite of that is Alex Cora saying, this is the last time we're going to struggle. Like, I liked that.
I liked that quote, too.
There was a simplicity to it, but also a... Did he just say what I think he said?
Yeah.
You know what it was?
You had a tough division. Like you,
Stephon Gilmore-esque, where you go back and you listen to it another time, you're like, did he just say he's going to shut down DK Metcalf? And you're like, son of a bitch, he said he's going to shut down DK. That is what he just called his shot. He said, this is the last time we're going to struggle. And I, for one, you can do whatever you do over there, Mr. Pessimist and negative pants.
Realist.
Well, no. Yeah. I'm a realist. I really heard the manager of the Boston Red Sox say, this is the last time we're going to struggle.
You really believe that the
I really believe he has a voice.
Spend
I
wildly.
Really believe Craig Breslow is going to acquire talent. I really believe in the Boston Red Sox.
I believe that ownership lied to both of those gentlemen. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll have a little bonus baseball for you as we get ready for Red Sox Blue Jays, the finale of this series, which comes to you right after this.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox.